Rick, thank you for those very kind remarks. I'm glad that he doesn't know me any better than that. And it is good to be with you, and I want to commend him on this lectureship and your eldership and this congregation, and especially the new format that you have chosen for the book this year. I really believe that this is going to be a very practical, a very useful tool, especially for our teachers. And I was glad to see the book when I came in earlier today, and I believe that it will do much good, and I want to encourage you to continue in this way in the years ahead. It's been probably 7 years since I've been in this pulpit, although I was able to come and teach in the school a few times, as you said. But I've always enjoyed being with the church here at Southwest. I appreciate you for your love for the truth and for your stand in this community. We need good, sound, loving, faithful churches like this congregation. And I just want to encourage you tonight because we want your light to shine in this area. And anything that I can do and say, I want to encourage you in that way. As we began tonight to think about holiness in honesty and integrity, I'm reminded of a story that Paul Harvey used to tell on the radio about four high school boys who came in late for school one day. And they made up a story about how that along the way they had had a flat tire. Well, the teacher smiled sympathetically and said, well, that was too bad because they had had a test that morning and they had missed out on that test. But she said, I'll allow you to go ahead and take that test. And she sent each of the boys, one to each corner of the room, gave them a piece of paper and a pen. And she said, if you can answer this one question, you can pass the test. Which tire on the car was flat? I believe that we're living in a society that is suffering from a lack of honesty and integrity. You can see that especially in the leaders of our country, among our politicians. It's like the busload of politicians that was going down a farm-to-market road and a little animal ran out in front of them. And the driver swerved and the bus went off the road across the field and ran into a tree. An old farmer came out and investigated the crash, dug a big hole, and buried all of those that were on the bus. A little later, a policeman came along. And he heard what the farmer had done, and he was concerned. He said, are you sure they were all dead before you buried them? He said, well, some of them said they weren't, but you know how those politicians lie. Of course, you remember our former president, Bill Clinton, whom the Congress sought to impeach because he had lied under oath. And we'll never forget his famous statement, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And now his wife misspoke about being fired on by snipers. It's not been too long since the Enron fiasco, where the company was telling the employees to invest in their stock. At the same time, those same company men were dumping their own because they knew better. What was the football player, Vic, repeatedly saying on the radio, on the television, had nothing to do with the mistreatment of these dogs that were fighting? Until later he confessed in court that he did, in fact, take part in that. What about us? I'm ashamed tonight of some of the stories I know concerning a lack of honesty and integrity in the Lord's church. It breaks my heart. to think about them. I don't want to tell them. My brother just before me was saying he wasn't much of a golfer. And I can understand that because I've been that way before. But I'm a big golfer now. And me and my buddies go out just about every week. And I told them one day, when they were asking me about the score, that the only place a Christian can lie is on the golf course. They said, I don't think that's in the Bible. Well, it's not. It's not there. We must be people of honesty and integrity in the church building and outside the church building. It doesn't matter where we are. We need to ask ourselves, what kind of people are we tonight? If you get $10 extra change back at the grocery store, do you just kind of grin and put it in your pocket? Or do you give it back to the checker? You find a wallet on the road somewhere. Do you return it to the owner or do you just keep the money and throw it away? Have you ever acted one way in front of somebody, but then you go off and you're with somebody else and you begin to run that person down? Or do we act one way in church and another way when we're out there surrounded by the world? Are we a people of honesty and integrity? And just how important is it that we be honest and that we walk uprightly? I want us to begin tonight by looking in Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Because here's a passage that emphasizes the essentiality of honesty and integrity in regards to our relationship to God. And I can't think of anything more important than that. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Here's the answer. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. The psalmist is talking about honesty and integrity. And you cannot be right with God. You will not dwell with God if you're not a person of honesty and integrity. There's something else about this we need to note. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Not only is honesty and integrity important in our relationship with God, but it's also so important in our relationship with others. 1 Peter 2:11, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. The point that Peter's trying to make is simply this, that if we are not a people of honesty and integrity, we can have no influence for Christ in the world. But if we'll be a people of honesty and integrity, then those that are looking upon us, those that are surrounding us, will be drawn to us and will be able to bring glory to God. This is the only way that we're going to be able to have influence on others for the Lord. But now I think an important question is one that might be on your mind tonight, and that is simply this. What's it going to do for me? What am I going to get out of it? I remember when I was very young, I learned that honesty is the best policy. And I had that drilled into me. And I always wondered, is that really true? Is honesty really the best policy? Is that the best way to go in life? Would it be better to lie? Would it be better to cheat? Would it be better to go the way of the world? And the Bible tells us, of course, that honesty is indeed the best policy. And I want you to notice that from at least four standpoints tonight. First of all, I want you to go back to the book of Proverbs because this is where most of these come from. And we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, where we learn that honesty and integrity will bless us and will bless our families. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. My dear father passed away a week ago today. We had his service on Saturday, and he was buried. And of course, this was a very difficult time for us. But I want you to know that it was much, much easier, because Dad was a man of honesty and integrity. My dad was not rich. He was not famous. But he had something of much greater value. In Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 6, it emphasizes this very thing. Proverbs 28 in verse 6. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Dad didn't leave us a lot of material things, but he left us something of much greater value. He built for himself a foundation and a future for his children. He left us a legacy of honesty and integrity. And that's what made it so much easier to say goodbye to Dad this past week. But I want you to notice a second thing about honesty and integrity. From Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. Honesty and integrity will protect you. Proverbs 10:9. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. You know, if you're not honest, if you don't walk uprightly, you may spend a lot of your time worrying about what you said around this particular person or what you did in this particular situation, because somewhere down the line, it's going to come up again, or you're going to be around that person again. You got, what did I say then? How did I respond to it then? And if you're like me, getting over 50 years old now, you can't remember as well as you used to remember, and that can get you in trouble real quick. But if you're a person of honesty and you're a person of integrity, you don't have to worry about those things. You don't have to remember about saying the same thing that you said, say, last year or last week or a month ago. You don't have to always be looking over your shoulder. Honesty and integrity will relieve us from a great deal of stress and fear in our life. But there's a third thing. In Proverbs, the 11th chapter, in verse 3. Honesty and integrity will guide you. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to do in some particular situation or circumstance in life. I don't have to worry about what kind of decision I'm going to make when I'm a person of honesty and integrity, because I am trusting in the will of God. And I know that in whatever situation, I'm going to do what God would have me to do. I know whatever decision I have to make, I'm going to make the decision that God would want me to make. But we live in a society where there are no moral absolutes, where anything goes, where people don't know how to decide between right and wrong, what they ought to do in this situation or in this circumstance. They're confused. They're lost. There's no standard to guide them. But the person of honesty and integrity always has a sure and certain path that's found in the will of the Lord. Fourth, for this we have to go back to the book of Job. Job chapter 4 and verse 6. Honesty and integrity provides hope. What we're going to read here are the words of Eliphaz, one of Job's friends. And I believe what we see in his questions are an implication, a mild rebuke of Job. This is what he says. Is not your reverence, your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? I believe that he is trying to imply, he's trying to suggest to Job that you have no confidence today. You are desperate this hour because you're not a man of honesty and integrity. That's why you find yourself in this horrible affliction today. Now, we know that Eliphaz was wrong about Job. But the principle that's found in this verse is so true. That without honesty and integrity, we cannot have any hope. We'll find ourselves desperate. We'll find ourselves lost. Without any assurance before the Lord. You may fool a lot of people for a long time, but you can never fool God. But when you are a person of honesty and integrity, you can stand before God with assurance. You can trust that you will receive your reward. But now I think the most important question that we could ask tonight is, how can I be a person of honesty and integrity? How can you be a person of honesty and integrity? I'm going to give you three things tonight. Three things that I want you to take home. The first of these is found in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, one of my favorite prayers at the end of that psalm. Because it's a psalm of courage. The psalmist was asking God to look into his heart. He was opening his heart to God. It's difficult for us, I think, at times to be honest before God. That might be the scariest thing you ever do. Here's what David wrote. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Perhaps some of you have had an EKG. It determines the condition of the heart. It'll show if you have any problems that need to be corrected, if there is the potential for any danger that perhaps could be prevented. But in a very similar way, God can test our hearts. And He can show us if there's anything that needs to be corrected. He can help us from falling into spiritual danger. Our God has a way of causing us to be honest, of keeping us upright, opening our heart to God will move us towards honesty and integrity, to make our decisions upon it, to base our lives upon it, to live every day in honesty and integrity. But this is where we've got to begin if we want to be a people of honesty and integrity. We've got to be first honest before God. Second, do not let circumstances cause you to lose your honesty and integrity. You remember Job, and we're going to go back to him again tonight. James used him in chapter 5, verse 11, as an example of perseverance. But Job is also an example of honesty and integrity. You remember in Job chapter 1 and verse 8, when God described His servant Job to Satan, He said, there's no one like him in the earth. Yet he is blameless and walks uprightly, one who fears God and shuns evil. And even after Satan did everything that he possibly could to set Job against God, he took away his family, he took away his property, he took away his possessions, everything that he had. Even then, God would say in Job chapter 2 and verse 3, that still he holds fast his integrity. God allowed Satan to attack him one more time. And this time he attacked his body. He afflicted him with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And yet, Job in chapter 27 would swear before God not to give up his integrity till he dies. Now folks, if Job can do that, you and I can do that. But we must be as committed as Job to this principle of honesty and integrity. We must recognize that it doesn't matter what happens to us, that we're going to hold on to, we're going to maintain our honesty and our integrity before God. But here's a final point. Don't let others persuade you to give up your honesty and integrity. You know, sometimes what circumstances cannot do, others can. Maybe you could handle whatever situation, but you would let a spouse or a schoolmate or a friend persuade you to do something you know you should not be doing, you know is not right. One of the remarkable things about our Lord Jesus Christ was his honesty and integrity. And people noted that. Even his enemies were aware of it. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 14, they said of him, according to one translation, "We know you're a man of integrity and are not swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are." Our Lord didn't care what others might think or say or do. Our Lord was willing to suffer the cruel death of the cross in order to complete his mission, to not deny his honesty and his integrity before God. And you and I must never allow others to persuade us to give up the same. We must be willing to stand in our honesty and integrity, no matter what others might say, what they might think, what they might do to us. Parents, have you ever heard the phrase, "Everybody else is doing it"? I know I heard that more than once from my children as they were growing up. It didn't work. But you know, all of us need to recognize that doesn't work with God either. It is a lame rationalization to justify our wrong actions. Do not follow the crowd to do evil. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2. If you have to stand alone to do what is right, then stand alone. But remember, you're never alone when you stand with God. And if God be for us, who is against us? It doesn't matter, Romans 8:31. Because with God, we're going to win. We'll be victorious. Daniel was a young man in a foreign country, and yet he maintained his honesty and his integrity. According to Daniel chapter 1, he refused to eat the unclean food, even though he knew it pleased the king. The king could have taken his life at any time, but this young man stood on his honesty and his integrity and refused to eat that food. Now, somebody might think that's a minor thing of the law. Surely it would not have hurt for Daniel to eat just some of that unclean food, considering those circumstances. And besides, it was the king who could have taken his life. But no, Daniel understood that when we compromise on these smaller points, we'll compromise on the greater points. But when we'll stand in our honesty and integrity here, then we can do so in those greater matters. And that's exactly what happened when we turn to Daniel, the 6th chapter, and we see here Daniel refusing to quit praying, even though he was going to be thrown to the lions. Daniel didn't care what people said. He didn't care what they thought. He didn't care what they were going to do. He was going to maintain his honesty and integrity. He could not be persuaded by others. Here's the point tonight. It's not going to matter what others think. It's not going to matter what others say about you. If you don't believe that now, you're going to believe it later. You will agree with me that the only thing that matters is what God says about you, what God thinks about you. And the Bible says in Job chapter 8 and verse 20, behold, he will not cast away the blameless. That is to say, he will not reject the man of integrity, nor uphold the evildoers. Whether you're a freshman in high school or of retirement age, be a person of honesty and integrity. It's essential to your relationship with God. It's necessary if you're going to have influence upon others. If people know you as a person of honesty and integrity in your community, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, at your school, then you can begin to have an influence upon them for God. It'll bless your life now and forever. Honesty and integrity is a personal choice. You can choose to be dishonest, to walk unrighteously, or you can choose to be a person of honesty and integrity. Remember that what you say must be what you do, because that will determine who you are. In the service for my dad Saturday, I told the people that certainly we are saddened and we do sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. But I reminded them that our hope did not rest upon the performance of my father. He was a good man. But he, like all of us, had sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But he believed in a perfect one. And he trusted in what that one had done for him to pay the price for his sins. And he gave himself to him in the waters of baptism. And having his sins forgiven, having been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, he strove to walk in honesty and integrity. And our assurance was based upon the fact that he never lost his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you tonight? We're going to sing a song of invitation. And I'm just asking you to be honest enough tonight to look at yourself and to see, am I in need of that same Savior? And if so, that you'll come to Him right now as we stand and while we sing. Won't you come?